Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you missed my announcement earlier, I'm Steve Lane. I'm the lay leader here at this church. Pastor CJ is not with us today. Amy, his wife's grandmother, passed away yesterday, so they are still in the Keys. And Pastor CJ will be doing a sermon at his mother-in-law's church. Amy's parents are both pastors of Methodist churches in the Keys. So our prayers will be with them for the next few days and continually. Happy Thanksgiving! Thank you. From those of you that said that and didn't look at me like I was nuts. This past week, we paused once again to celebrate Thanksgiving. And one would assume that because of the examples of our forefathers, and because today that we have so much, that we would be extremely thankful people. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it works like this. The more we get, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, and the more that we want. There's a certain area in Mexico. Hot springs and cold springs are found side by side. And because of the convenience of this natural phenomenon, the women there often bring their laundry, boil their clothes in the hot springs, and rinse them in the cold springs. A tourist watching this procedure commented to his guide, "They must think God is generous to supply such ample and clean hot and cold water." The guide replied, "No, sir, there is much grumbling because he supplies no soap." What do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? I know Debbie and I were thankful that our children are grown and are able to invite us into their home and not having all of them come into our home. Many people think about the same things on Thanksgiving. Eating, football, eating, long weekends, shopping, history, family, or eating. And it's not just a holiday of every fourth Thursday in November. For God's people, every day ought to be a Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday. It's simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. Did you know that in 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation saying that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. He recommended and assigned Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, to be a day of Thanksgiving. Of course, most of us know the story of the pilgrims and how they and the Indians of the area had a Thanksgiving feast in 1621. At least the story that we've been told. Long before Washington's proclamation. Even earlier than 1621, we find people offering thanks to God. In the Old Testament, we find a psalm of thanksgiving, one which we heard last week and has always made an impression on me. We find people offering their thanks to God. It's subtitled a psalm of thanksgiving. It's an invitation to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. Not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thankfulness, but it also describes to us the nature of thanksgiving. Let's hear that psalm once again. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Amen. Within that psalm, I found five key words that describe the essence of thanksgiving. The first word is joy. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. We don't do a lot of shouting in church. Sometimes we get an amen here and there. Some churches you do. We don't have any problems shouting at football games or at the person who just cut us off in traffic. Our lives are meant to be a joyful call to God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Just this past week, I saw a film clip of the victory celebration in New York City when World War II ended. That celebration was a shout of praise. The war was over. The victory had been won. We need to shout praises to God. I have read the end of the book. I know who wins the war. I know who has victory. Praise be to God on high. We need to be filled with joy and shout about it. Our second word is gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Let me tell you this. There's a huge difference between gladness and sadness. When we come before the Lord, we are to do it with gladness and not sadness. I have been in some churches where the people came to church on Sunday morning to worship, almost like they were coming to a funeral service. I don't see that here. We need to come here on Sunday morning like we're coming into a resurrection service. My Lord has risen from the dead. We need to celebrate that fact. Because you see, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. And you ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Friends, when we come before the Lord, we need to do it with gladness. Our third word is dependence. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. This verse shows us the three words from God. The three roles that He serves. God is Lord. We are to make Him ruler, master, and boss of our lives. God is God and we are not. God told Moses, I am who I am. You have no more control over God than you do the weather. God is God, and we are not. God is creator. If you create something, you're greater than what you have created. You have every right over that which you have made. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. God is a shepherd. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God guides us to the place of security, plenty, and rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes we only hear that message at funerals, but we need to hear it more often. He leads us. He's our shepherd, and He restores our soul. Someone once said, if we're created, He is the Creator. If we are sheep, He is our shepherd. We enter His courts, He is our King. We serve Him, He is our Master. I am dependent upon God. He created even the air that I breathe. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every beat of my heart. And I thank Him for being God. I am dependent upon Him. The fourth word that I glean from that scripture, Psalm 100, is thankfulness. You can't give thanks unless you're thankful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Thanksgiving is what flows out of our hearts, our thankful hearts. In Luke chapter 17, there's an interesting story. Jesus enters a village, and upon entering, He finds 10 men who were lepers. I've always been intrigued by the people that Jesus hung out with. He did hang out with some royalty, but He hung out with prostitutes, with diseased people, with the fallen, the downtrodden. But I've often also wondered, what did Jesus do for fun? You think He had a hobby? Do you think He told jokes? Do you think He ever had a belching contest with the disciples? Things to think about. This day that the lepers saw Jesus is a day that it gave Jesus something to think about. They stood a long way off and yelled out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Did you know that they had not been cleansed yet? They left before they were cured, because the Bible says that as they went along, they were cleansed and they were healed. One of them, only one of them, went back and said to Jesus, "Thank you for what you have done for me." Only one of the 10 thanked Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? It gave Jesus something to think about. It gave us something to think about. Folks, we need to be thankful for what God has done for us. And that brings us to the fifth and final word, gratitude. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. The three reasons to be grateful. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. The Lord's truth endures forever. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is giving thanks and praise to God when he writes, "Everything comes from Him. Everything happens through Him. Everything ends up in Him. Always glory. Always praise. Yes, yes, yes." Our praise, our thanksgiving, and our worship needs to be directed to God. We need to be thankful for what He has done each and every day of our lives. And we are. We're grateful that you're here today. And we're grateful that you share what you've heard today with others. Thanksgiving, not last Thursday, but every day forward. And my prayer for that is that God is thanked with joy and gladness and thankfulness and gratitude and with a heart dependent upon Him. Amen.